Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kon vatra te kila guru Bhagavan prayasa. Utharanesya bhavasam bhavalopaheto. Mudheshu vai mahadanugraha artha bandho. Kim tena te priya janan anusevatam naha. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hear the words, Priya Janan Anusevatam Na. Indicate that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of his own pure devotee. In other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become the servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi Bharatu Padakamala Yora Das 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 Anudas. One should not be proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes the servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of the Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara praptam imam rajar shaya vidhu. One can understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the parampara system. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandra charana sevi bhakta sanivas. Let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and let me live with the devotees. Janame janame hoy e avilas. Following Narottam Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servants, life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumi to Thakur, tomara kukur, boliya janahaya more. O my Lord, O Vaishnav, please consider me your dog. One must become the dog of a Vaishnav, a pure devotee, for a pure devotee can deliver Krishna consciousness without difficulty. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite par. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee. And if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna. My dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee, so that I may engage in his service and you may be pleased. Madbhakta puja vyadika. The Lord says, engaging in the service of my devotee is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow. And thus, Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness. O best of the great personalities, I'm sorry, it's tomorrow's verse. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you, who manage the affairs of the universe, in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. Before we begin, in this mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, Priya Janan Anusevatam, let us offer prayers, first of all for Srimati Nanda Priya Devi, who is apparently in the very last stages of her present life in this world with us. Wonderful, wonderful devotee who has inspired three generations of children on the path of pure bhakti. Let us take this moment to pray to Shri Radha Gopinath to shower their blessings upon her. And let us offer our prayers for His Holiness Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, who is still in critical condition in the sense that he requires ventilator for breathing. Until he can do without that, his present life is not out of danger. This great compassionate soul who's given his heart for the last 40 years in the mood of Prahlad to give bhakti to the world. One of the senior most dear disciples of Prabhupada, who we are all so indebted and obliged to. Let us offer our prayers. in today's verse. Prahlad is appealing to the Lord to do what is so easy for him, but absolutely impossible for anyone else. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya durdhyaya. Material energy is very strong. These gunas, tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna, are powerful influences which, when activated by time, create the entire manifestation of material existence. The influence of ignorance, passion, and goodness is so strong, the Lord explains, that no one can escape. Only one who surrenders to the Lord can escape. There is a famous verse that trying to cross over the temptations, the fears, the illusions, the sufferings, the pleasures of material life is like trying to swim across the largest of oceans. What is the hope of anyone to swim across even a small ocean like the Pacific Ocean? It is simply impossible. But for one who takes shelter of the Lord, that ocean is reduced in size to the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf, a little cow. One can easily cross over. But how to take shelter of the Lord? That is what this verse is about. Prahlad says, what's impossible for us is very easy for you, because you are the controller of material existence. You are Sarveshwareshwara, the controller of all controllers. If you withdraw your Maya, then Maya does not exist for us. And you are favorable to those who are the servants of the servants of your servants. Prahlad Maharaj does not approach the Lord on the basis of his own qualifications. These prayers are very instructive throughout. When Prahlad talks about himself, how he was born in a low family of demons, how he's so much addicted to materialistic life, he only speaks about his vulnerabilities, his weaknesses, his problems. Now, the amazing thing is none of us see in the history of Prahlad any of these weaknesses or problems. There's not a trace of it. From the time he was a little embryo in the womb, he was a Mahabhagavat. And yet he's talking about being filled with snake-like material attachments and desires and egos. Is he just making that up? No, he's not making that up. Why we don't see those things in him? This is very interesting conception for all of us to understand. Because he sees those things in himself, And because he feels himself so unqualified, he completely takes shelter of his Gurudev, Narada Muni. And therefore, he doesn't have any of those problems. If you think you have your problem and you take shelter of the servant of the Lord, then those problems don't exist. If you don't think you have those problems, then you won't take shelter, then those problems will exist. This is a subtle but very, very critical point in bhakti. It is universal. Therefore, all the great personalities pray in such a way that they have very little to say good about themselves, but how much they praise the Vaishnavas and their guru and Krishna. It's this psychology of humility that enables them to fully take shelter. Here, although Prahlad has done so many amazing acts of historical devotion, which are going down in history forever, as far as he's concerned, his only qualification is that his Gurudev, Narada Muni, has blessed him. That's why you did all this for me, my Lord. And that's why you're standing before me now, offering me all benedictions. You have incarnated in this world, not because of me, but because I serve my Gurudev, and by his mercy, he blessed me and you have come. Tandara charana sevi bhakti sanivas. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur is praying, let me just be the servant of the Vaishnavas and let me be very happy to live with the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada is taking this principle and focusing on it in his illustrious purport. How the Lord is very favorable to one who follows the instructions of his pure devotee. And Prabhupada says, in other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Tumi to Thakur, tomara kukur, boliya janara more. Oh my Lord, oh Vaishnav, please consider me your dog. One who, even if a dog, is the object of the mercy of a Vaishnav, is the most fortunate person. We know the story of Shivananda Sen, when he was bringing all the devotees to Puri. There were 300-400 devotees, and a stray dog happened to just join up with them and wanted to follow them. And Shivananda Sen took such compassion toward this dog. He made special meals for him, paid special tolls for him. And ultimately that dog, Lord Chaitanya in Puri was feeding that dog his own Mahaprasad with his own hands and sent him to Goloka Vrindavan. What was his qualification? That he was dear to a great devotee. That's all. Now, dogs are domestic to some extent. But even amongst that society, the lowest, most untouchable is a jackal. Yes? Jackals, nobody praises jackals. People praise dogs. In the West, usually more than humans. In America, they have special beauty parlors for dogs. They have entire, really big stores, national chains of big stores with thousands of articles you can buy, and it's all paraphernalia for dogs. Coats and socks and gloves and hats, different types of shampoos and perfumes, different chemicals to shine their toenails. Really, this is not exaggeration. And if anybody in America hears this tape that you're laughing, they'll be very offended. We'll have to edit this tape. But where do you find any store or any paraphernalia for a jackal? Jackal is very low considered. Considered very contaminated. In America, you'll see in almost any city, when people are walking their dogs, by the thousands and thousands, people walking their dogs, in the suburbs, in the cities, in the towns, in the villages, people walking their dogs. And they have a little machine, very simple little machine, or special rubber gloves. And whenever the dog responds to the calls of nature, because they, when they're outside, they do not discriminate where they do. Then the master, so-called master, will get fined by the government if he does not personally pick up the stool of the dog. So they have special, so they put on their rubber glove and they pick it up and they put it in a little special, you get that at one of those shops, a special little box that you carry and put it in. Sometimes they have little machines that scoop it and they put it in. You see this everywhere. So this is very menial service. How many of you have someone doing that for you since you've been a little baby? But the dogs have. But nowhere have we ever heard of this for a jackal. Yes. But even a jackal, there's no discrimination, dog, jackal. There's a beautiful story of one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kamalakara Pipalai. He was having Nam Sankirtan at his home, in his temple courtyard. And one of the very, very most intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He is one of the 12 Gopals, one of the 12 principal cowherd boys of Braj Bhumi who descended with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. His name is Parameshwar Thakur. Very close to Janava Devi, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's consort as well. Parameshwar, it is explained, he went to Vrindavan, the final visit of Janava Devi, and personally witnessed her merge into the body of the deity of Ananga Manjari in the Gopinath temple. But in this particular instant, Parameshwar Thakur was dancing and chanting in the kirtan at Kamalakara Pipalai's home. And many, many people were coming. Very attractive kirtan. They were singing, they were dancing, they were so blissful. Krishna is not different than his name. And the realization of Krishna not different than his name is especially when devotees chant with that faith, and even more so when devotees chant with that realization. So it was very popular. But there was some very, very antagonistic people who hated Vaishnavas. And they couldn't tolerate this kirtan. It was just making too much noise. Nowadays, you just, you know, file a case in the courts to stop it. But in those days, it wasn't so easy. They wanted to disgrace it. These people, they were Hindus, in one sense. They wanted to completely contaminate the kirtan area so that everyone would have to leave. So the devotees were chanting and dancing very blissfully, and these men, they were burning with envy because so many people were having such a good time. Materialistic people who are envious, they cannot tolerate other people happy when they're not happy. So what they did to completely contaminate and disrupt the entire kirtan, they went out and killed a jackal. Right? And then they threw the jackal, the dead corpse of a jackal, right into the middle of the kirtan. Huh? Everyone, they were chanting, dancing, and all of a sudden this dead, bloody jackal just right in the center of the kirtan. Parameshwar loudly chanted the holy name. Suddenly, the jackal came back to life, leaped in the air, and started howling the Hare Krishna mantra. And for the rest of the kirtan, he was one of the devotees. Tears in his eyes, screaming out the holy names, dancing in ecstasy. Now, if anyone would have collected his stool, they would have become purified. It would have been very excellent Vaishnav Seva. This is the power of getting the mercy of a devotee. Even if you're a jackal, you can attain the highest perfection. There's a well-known story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita which reveals this truth of a particular devotee that received a form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that no one was given the entrance into except some of the most intimate confidential associates. His name was Kalidas. Kalidas lived not far from Saptagram, just a few miles from Krishnapur, which is the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. In fact, he is a distant uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. Kalidas made a vow. He was a very, very learned, very devoted person, highly respected in society. His vow was that he was going to get the remnants of the food left on the plate of every Vaishnav or devotee in the entire Bengal. And he was determined. What does that mean Just to eat food off somebody's plate is not in and of itself such a great thing. It was the faith in his heart. He had so much faith in the devotees. He so much wanted to humbly serve the devotees. He so much considered every devotee better than himself. That's the spirit of what he was doing. And how did he go about it? He would go to every devotee's house. And he himself was quite well-to-do. He would get really nice first-class prasad. He would probably do a little research of what that devotee liked. And he'd bring it in a nice plate and go to their house and offer obeisances and give them the prasad. And then he would ask for their remnants. And if they were not willing to give their remnants, he would somehow or other get it. Unknowingly. He did everything in such a way that he never hurt anyone's feelings. He would very humbly, with folded hands, say, please bless me and honor me with some remnants after you eat this. And if they said, no, we cannot give you our remnants. You are superior to us. Then he would bow down and leave. And he would come back. Nobody would know, and he would hide until they would throw up. He'd give them some prasad where there would be some peel or some seed or something. Or the plate. He would give them a plate, a leaf plate. And then after some time, they would throw the plate in the rubbish pit, and then he would go secretly to the rubbish pit and lick the plate and get whatever remnants. In this way, he was thousands of people, he'd do this. And he did not discriminate who was high and who was low. If someone has faith in Krishna, if someone has devotion to Krishna, as far as he was concerned, they are the highest. He went to Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur, by the standards of the society at that time, was born in a community of sweepers. And he was considered an untouchable. Not a Shudra, an untouchable by society. Out of the caste system altogether. By many orthodox Hindu calculations of that time, he had no rights even to worship. But he was a very great devotee of the Lord. Jadu Thakur was coming from a very high caste. He was from a very affluent family. And he was a very learned scholar. He went to the house of Jadu Thakur and bowed down to Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur didn't know what to do. He bowed down to Kalidas. They shared love for Krishna. Now, Jadu Thakur, Kalidas knew for sure that Kalidas would not give him remnants. So he gave him first-class ripe mangoes. Now, in Bengal, everyone likes first-class ripe mangoes. So he gave it to him on a leaf plate. Yes. So when he bowed down, Jadu Thakur said, "Why are you bowing to me? I'm untouchable. You're coming from very high caste, from a very noble family." And Kalidas just revealed his heart by quoting from scripture. That even if one is born in a Brahmin family, if that person is not a devotee, that person is not dear to the Lord. And that person cannot deliver even himself, what to speak of anyone else. But if a person, even Chandala, even lowest of untouchables by calculation of materialistic society, if that person is a devotee of the Lord, very dear to the Lord, and not only deliver himself, but his family, and could become guru of the world. Aho bata swapucho togariyam yajjiva kare bartate namatubhyam. Yes, even if a person is Brahmin with all, and has all the 25 qualifications of a first-class Brahmin, if he's not a devotee of the Lord and does not take the name of the Lord, cannot deliver himself. But even Chandala, if he's a devotee who chants the holy names, that person is considered to have already gone to all the holy places of pilgrimage, has done all the sanctified samskaras, have perfected all the prerequisites to be a first-class Brahmin. In fact, that Chandala can deliver the world. So Kalidas is quoting these scriptures just to justify his bowing down to Jadu Thakur. And Jadu Thakur says, "Everything you're saying is perfectly true. But the problem is it does not apply to me. Because I'm not a devotee of the Lord." And he meant it. So it went on and on like this. They were exchanging their love for Krishna by both of them completely humble. Kalidas just wanted to be the servant of Jadu Thakur, and Jadu Thakur just wanted to be the servant of Kalidas. And in the end, he gave them the mangoes, and then he asked his leave. And Jadu Thakur walked him, which is a tradition of hospitality. Not that you just, you know, sit in your chair at home as somebody's leaving and say bye. But the custom is that you really make a person feel that you want them to be there. I know. Krishna Chandra Prabhu Radha Priya Devi. I've seen whenever anyone visits their house and goes to leave their house, my parents, they couldn't believe this. My old friend Gary, he couldn't believe it. Even I can't believe it. When you're leaving their house, Radha Priya is always crying. Always crying. Why are you leaving? Why don't you stay? We'll miss you so much. And it's so much from the heart. And, you know, it comes to you to the stairs, to the downstairs, until you come to the car. And Krishna Chandra is in the same mood. His tears are not necessarily as visible. But the same spirit is there. And when you leave, you're thinking, these people are so, there's so much love. There's such a service attitude. That's culture. Srinathji Prabhu has a nice house. Whenever you're leaving his house, he comes down the elevator, through the lobbies, puts you right in the car, sometimes comes in the car with you. Sometimes he's come all the way to my room with me. I'm wondering, you know, we should get another mosquito net to culture. So Jadu Thakur, he's just a very poor man, sweeper class. It's not sweepers have nice houses. They're the poorest of the poor. But he was so rich with culture. As Kalidas was leaving, Jadu Thakur walked with him for some distance until Kalidas practically insisted, please go home now, you walked enough with me. And then he said, yes, yes. And then he bowed down, Jadu Thakur, and then walked back. And after he left, and Kalidas bowed down to him. And as he was walking away and his back was turned, Kalidas looked for Jadu Thakur's footprints in the dust of the road. And with ecstasy, not just a formality, but with deep, profound faith in his heart that this dust is so sacred, it will cleanse my entire existence. When you have that faith in the dust, it has that effect on your life. If you don't have that faith, it doesn't have the effect. Because the effect is coming from Krishna. Krishna makes that dust so pure. Because a devotee loves Krishna, Krishna, his bhakti is in the dust of his feet. And the dust of the feet represents service. If you have that faith in service to a Vaishnav, whatever their category is, Prabhupada often quotes that verse, that if one categorizes a devotee by any material standards, sex or caste or education or wealth or any of these things, it is jati bhuti. It is a hellish mentality. So Kalidas, with so much faith, he considered that dust that was just on the roadside to be more precious than diamonds or rubies or emeralds or sapphires in the museums. He considered it more precious than lavish marble and gold and silver and silks. Because he considered it to be the remnants of the devotion of one who is dear to Krishna. It's based on faith. It's based on appreciation. No one was looking except Krishna in his heart when he went on his knees and picked up that dust from the footprints and smeared it over his body. Only Krishna saw him. Lord Chaitanya saw his faith, saw his relish, saw his service attitude, saw his deep appreciation for this Vaishnav. But that's only the beginning of the story. Jadu Thakur went home. His wife cut the mango and served it to him. Jadu Thakur ate it. And then his wife wanted his remnants because she had such appreciation for him as such a great devotee. So after whatever was left on the plate, she ate it. She sucked the seeds of the mango. She was licking the peels of the mangoes. Whatever pulp he left, she ate it. Then after he ate it, and then she ate her remnants, his remnants, then a little later, she took the plate outside and threw it in the rubbish pit. Now, rubbish pits are not very hygienic places. There's usually flies and all sorts of other exotic insects. Yes. And Kalidas is a wealthy, prestigious, high-class man. So he comes back when nobody's around and goes to that rubbish pit. Can you imagine? He went all the way back, went to that rubbish pit, and found that leaf plate. And there in the leaf plate was the seeds and the skins of the magos. He licked the plate. He sucked the seed. He sucked the seed that was already sucked twice. Now we have this, Prahlad Maharaj says, puna puna charavata charavata. You could think he's like that, chewing that which has already been chewed. You know, we can use an example that somebody, and then he was licking the inner portion of the skin of the mango that was already licked twice. So we could say that material enjoyment is like this. Somebody licks the mango skin, sucks the seed, throws it in the rubbish bin, then somebody else picks it up, does it, throws it out, and then you come and do it again. Yes? That's considered to be what material enjoyment. You've already done everything so many times, you've already spit it out so many times, and still you're looking for the same thing again. But just see, when you have faith in a Vaishnava, how it transforms puna punash charapata charvananam into what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says to be the greatest asset we have. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says there are three very, very powerful substances, and if you only can have faith in these substances, with that faith, with that appreciation, somehow or other get it. Because it will cleanse your heart. It will attract Krishna's mercy to shower upon you if you relish it. And what are those three substances? The dust of the feet of a devotee. The water that washed the feet of the devotee. And the prasad that has been eaten by a devotee. When Krishna eats prasad, it's called mahaprasad. When a devotee eats that prasad, it's called maha prasad. In this case, a devotee ate it, and then another devotee ate it, so it's maha prasad. Very, very interesting. It's like to be Krishna Das is an exalted position, but to be Das is a more exalted position, but to be a Das, Anudas. Even more. Prabhupada explains, the more you go, the more you're the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the more relishable it is. So there's Mahaprasad, there's Mahaprasad, and there's Mahaprasad. Very, very powerful substance. Krishna Das Kaviraj, he's a Paramhamsa, he's a Mahabhagavat, he's the highest realized person. And he's going on and on glorifying these three substances. They can deliver us from birth and death. They can award us ecstatic, eternal love for God if we only have that faith and appreciation. That is a service attitude. So here is Kalidas. He's a wealthy man. He's a very prestigious personality. But he's just wandering around Bengal begging for some dust and for some eaten mango pits. Now, He's the one that gave the mango. Certainly he could have bought a few for himself, offered them to Krishna, and just
could have all that juicy pulp,
right? He could have just relished all that juicy mango pulp like every Bengali likes. But he didn't want it. He wanted the dried up, tasteless fibers that are just stuck to the seed after two people eat it. And as he was sucking that, even if there were no fibers, just the seed itself that they all put their mouths on, the Vaishnavas, Jaru Thakur and his wife, they put their saliva on that seed. Even if there was no fibers, he was just licking the seed. Amazing. And he was weeping in ecstasy as he was sucking the seed and the skin because of his faith. To him, that was more delicious than rasgullas and sandesh and gulab jamuns and samosas or even belpuri. For those of you from Chopati Beach. Most, because what was he tasting? He was not tasting with his tongue. He was tasting with his heart. Yes. He was just, he considered this the greatest wealth in all of Brahma's creation. To get that maha, maha, maha prasad. And in this way, he successfully attained the treasure of the remnants of every Vaishnava in Bengal. Without discrimination of their caste or their education or what kind of house they lived in or anything like that. Only their devotion. Nobody knew he did this. He didn't advertise it. He didn't have a special website. with a photo essay of how he got of how he got the remnants of every Vaishnava. He didn't tell anyone he was doing this. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord within the heart. He knows. He has such faith in my devotees. He loves those who I love so much. He's really the servant of the servant of the servant. And it's not that he was just... He never offended anyone. Those who didn't want him to take the remnants, they never knew. He did it so discreetly. And he served them. He went to their houses. He spoke beautiful words to them. He expressed his devotion to them, his respect for them. He arranged nice prasad for them. He was serving the devotees. But what was his mood of service? That's what the Lord sees. The Lord does not see what... He does not see what we give. He sees the purpose in which we give. And if we give something to those who we love, who Krishna loves, Prabhupada would sometimes quote the Western saying, "Love me, love my dog." And it's true. Sometimes when I'm walking down an American street dressed like this, people look like, what are you? And the easiest way to break through the barrier is if somebody has a dog, if they're walking their dog. It works every time, without exception. If you go to America, try it and you'll see. It's like a magic mantra. They're walking their dog. They look at you. They won't even look at you. And you just say, and I just say, what a beautiful dog. And they just look at me, and they smile. And they have tears in their eyes and say, and they say, oh, thank you very much. Then they sometimes they even start asking about Krishna. You're laughing, but this is true. Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. Where does this come from? Its origin is in Krishna. If you become Krishna's dog, a devotee wants to be Krishna's dog in that sense. And therefore, if you love a devotee, then Krishna's heart is yours. Because Krishna loves his devotees so much. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. If you love Krishna directly, that's nice. But if you love the servant of Krishna, then Krishna's heart is yours. Krishna so much loves his devotee that he appreciates someone who gives pleasure to his devotee more than he appreciates someone who gives pleasure to him directly. This is the nature of love. So after successfully fulfilling his vow, Kalidas came to Jagannath Puri. And he was about to embark on a mission that was extremely dangerous. Should I tell?
No!
Lord Chaitanya would go to the Singhadwaram, the main gate of Jagannath Temple. And as a sannyasi, Govinda, his servant, would carry his kamandalu, his water pot. And at the bottom of the steps, before going up the steps, there was a little area, like a gutter area, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wash his feet before going into the temple. Because after all, this is Lord Jagannath's temple. And he wanted to be as clean as possible to go into Jagannath's home. So he would wash his feet. But Lord Chaitanya, being in the mood of a devotee, would not allow anyone to ever touch a single drop of that water. He made this very strongly clear. It would be considered a humiliation and an embarrassment for him, for anyone to take that water and touch it. Because as a devotee, he was thinking his feet are dirty and nobody should touch it. And because he made it so clear, the devotees were so afraid to go near that water. Nobody dared to even attempt to touch that water. Except a few of the most intimate, confidential devotees, somehow or other, without the Lord knowing, very secretly. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami does not tell how they did it. But very discreetly, without the Lord knowing, they would figure out a way to get it on rare occasions. Hare Krishna. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to ascend the stairs at the Singhadwaram, his kamandalu poured the water over his feet, and Kalidas appeared right at that moment. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him. This is the servant of the servant of my servants. This devotee serves the Vaishnavas with such faith. The water poured onto Lord Chaitanya's feet, and Kalidas cupped his hands right under Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. The water, it all poured right off of his feet, and all the drops of it fell into Kalidas's cupped hands. Could you imagine the other devotees there? In Lord Chaitanya's presence, they wouldn't even look at that water. They were so afraid of the Lord's wrath. And he's just filled his hands up, and they're all watching. And Lord Chaitanya's looking right at him. And then right in front of the Lord's lotus eyes and all the other Vaishnavas, he takes the cupped hands filled with the water and drinks it. Large quantity. What's going to happen now? Will the Lord explode like a golden volcano? What happened next is he put his cupped hands under the feet again. And the water cascaded off Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, filled his hands, filled the cupped hands, and he drank the second helping. Lord Chaitanya is just looking at him. And the amazing thing is Lord Chaitanya keeps washing his feet. After he did this twice, Lord Chaitanya is continuing to wash his feet. And then he puts both of his hands again and fills a third helping and drinks it. And he's only this far from Lord Chaitanya. He's right next to him under his feet, drinking 1, 2, 3. And Lord Chaitanya is still washing his feet. And then he goes for a fourth one. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, finally, he says something. That's enough. He never, ever showed anyone this mercy. Not even his most confidential associates. Why? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. Because he was the very personification, the embodiment of one of the primary teachings of Lord Chaitanya. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. With love, with respect, with affection. Then Lord Chaitanya went to Kashi Mishra's home, Gambira, and he was served by Govinda, Lord Jagannath's prasad. It was his lunchtime. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate, and Lord Chaitanya happened to see Kalidas. From a little distance, he happened to see Kalidas, you know, through a window, through the door, just kind of peeking to see if there's any hope that he'll get some of Lord Chaitanya's remnants. And when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finishes his prasad, he tells Govinda, bring this prasad to Kalidas. Servant of the servant of the servant. Again, we reiterate, service is not just doing something. It's how we do it. When we serve a Vaishnava and we really feel ourselves fortunate and we really honor that person's connection to Krishna and we're grateful for the opportunity to do it and we do it in such a spirit of humility, whoever we are, that attitude conquers Krishna. Even when we do deity worship, our mood is, we're only the servant of the servant. We're assisting Srila Prabhupada, we're assisting our gurus, we're just, they're doing. We're just assisting them on their behalf. Then Krishna accepts our offerings. If we try to do directly, Krishna will not be so happy. But if we really do it in a spirit of the servant of the servant. That is true bhakti. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj is speaking here in this verse today. That I, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. And Srila Prabhupada ends this purport. He says another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow, and thus Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness. Another example of this quickly is King Prataparudra. He was king. He wanted the Lord's darshan. The Lord said no. This kinchanasya bhagavad bhajano mukasya param param jigamasura bhavasagarasya. I am sannyasi. To associate with a materialist person like this is more deadly than drinking poison willingly. If you even ask me again, I will leave this place. He was so strict. When the king approached the Lord, he was rejected. But then King Prataparudra served Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai came and told Lord Chaitanya that when King Prataparudra heard, when I asked him if I could resign from government service, to serve you, immediately. As soon as he heard your name, he was in ecstasy, crying. He got up from his throne. And he gave me not only full permission to leave my service and come and serve you, but he gave me my full salary and all sorts of other benefits just to make me happy. And because Ramananda Rai was so pleased by the king's service to him, Lord Chaitanya quoted the same verse that Prabhupada is from the 11th canto, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. That Krishna is more pleased when we serve his servants. Because King Prataparudra has served you with so much faith and affection, Krishna will certainly bestow his full mercy upon you. And what culminated is when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king taking the role of a street sweeper, taking Jadu Thakur's role of sweeping the street before Jagannath and the Vaishnavas. Then he decided in his heart, I will give him my full mercy. And in that garden near the Ayatota, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was laying, resting for some time after hours and hours of Nam Kirtan. And the devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Nityananda Prabhu, the devotees sent King Prataparucha in the clothes of a Vaishnava, simple clothing. Go in there, sing Gopi Gita, and massage his feet. And when he went in, just following the instructions of the Vaishnavas, exactly what they did, because they were so pleased. They wanted so much for him. It was the devotee's desire that was his qualification. And why did the devotees have that desire? Because of his desire to serve them, to love them, to do everything for them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pretended he didn't know who he was. And he embraced him again and again and again. And bathed that king with his own tears. And finally he said, "You have come to bring me so much nectar. Who are you?" And King Prataparuja revealed his heart, revealed the basic foundation of his life. He said, "I am the servant of the servant of your servant. And my only aspiration is to be the servant of your servant of your servant." Now he said it very truthfully from his heart. And Lord Chaitanya understood that he meant it. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya revealed to him his own divine opulences. He manifested his form of Krishna to him. And the devotees outside were struck with wonder. What mercy he's receiving. None of the devotees. And then when he came out, after bowing down to the Lord, after he came out, he bowed down to every devotee because he knew that it was not his qualification. Like Prahlad. Prahlad sees Lord Narsingha. He's not thinking, "I am very great." He's giving all credit to Narada Muni, his guru. Similarly, King Prataparuja just saw the opulences of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just received the supreme blessings of Lord Chaitanya, and he comes out and bows down to every devotee. It's all your mercy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to his guru, "Your mercy is all that I am made of." It's the only thing that can connect me to Krishna is your mercy. If you're proud, you cannot access mercy. Mercy is only accessible to the degree our heart is genuinely humble. Mercy could be there, but we cannot digest it without a humble heart. Trinada bisunichena. Taro ibasa hishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us in this verse today. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Hare Krishna, Mala. The mentioning about that service is not just doing it, but...
Before I forget, today for Sunday program, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj will be here. As well as His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. And Lakshmivan Prabhu also. And hopefully all of you. Haribo. Yes.
Maharaj, you are mentioning about how service is not simply not just doing it, but how you do it. And when we are doing the most, like one of the most important services, that is of chanting in the morning, japa, we get a lot of thoughts about other things to do throughout the day. Lot of other services. And we start planning for other services. And we know that we are supposed to just chant this time. And because of this, the consciousness gets affected. Sometimes we also make a resolution and we pray and we try hard. But then when we sit down to chant, then the mind just wanders away. So my question, Maharaj, is how, when we are chanting, how can we avoid all other, although they are important services, but how can we avoid all the other thoughts and just focus on the holy name? So because so many things to be done and so many services, so how should we chant?
First of all, I offer my obeisances to you that the only thing you think about when you chant is service.
Maharaj, service is one thing.
And you never, and you didn't say anything about
no,
sense gratification.
No, sense gratification. Both.
It's a very exalted problem.
Maharaj, most of the time it sends gratification, but now because the marathon is coming up, so last few days only these thoughts are coming. So I thought I'll ask you now. So both problems are there, sense gratification also and sometimes services thoughts also.
We should extend the marathon. At least for you. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram. Bhagavad Gita explains when the mind wanders, we just keep bringing it back. So focus on the holy name during chanting. We should be convinced within our own mind that the empowerment that I will have in my service is to the degree I could be absorbed in the holy name when I'm chanting. We should have that conviction. His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, when he was in this Gopal Hall just a couple weeks ago, he told the story of how he was so determined to chant japa properly that someone said to him that if your mind starts wandering to other thoughts, then you should chant louder so that your mind just can't hear anything else. That's what he heard. So he read it in one book. So because his mind was thinking other thoughts, he was screaming out the holy name. And because he was only 19 years old, he had strong, you know. Hare Krishna, very loud. Hare Krishna. He would just start Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then some thoughts, Hare Krishna. And then he was yelling, though. He was really very loudly. And he was really absorbed because he couldn't hear his thoughts. But the problem is, everybody else in the temple couldn't hear their own japa. So they told Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada told him he should chant outside. So he would walk in this public park. Early morning, he'd be walking in this public park going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. And, you know, the neighbors and people, you know, go to the park to have a very quiet, peaceful walk in the morning. Screaming, But he didn't care. He just didn't care. He just went on, and he said he was very much absorbed in chanting. So I'm not saying you should do that. You cannot imitate great souls. But you could follow in their footsteps. And what is the spirit that he was so determined to be absorbed in chanting and hearing the chanting? He was just so determined. So we also should be determined to hear. Whenever the mind wanders, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Try to bring it back to the holy name. Krishna is not different than his name. Different devotees, through different ways, sometimes some devotees, they look at the mantra when they're chanting. Some devotees look at a picture of Radha Gopinath or their deities when they're chanting. Some devotees just close their eyes and just sometimes a little louder, sometimes a little softer, whatever helps us to just absorb ourselves in the sweet sound of the holy name. But if that's our will and that's our determination, Krishna will help us. Does that answer your question? In other words, every day during japa period, you should see this as a chanting marathon. And be absorbed with as much determination as you are for the book distribution marathon. And the great book distributors, they make the greatest advancement when they don't think I'm a great book distributor. Prabhupada is the writer of the book. Prabhupada is empowering me to distribute the books. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. Like Prahlad. Like Prahlad is to Narada Muni, wanting to deliver everyone, wanting to bring everyone to Narada Muni's lotus feet. When we're distributing books, we just want to bring everyone to Prabhupada as the instrument of his, as the servant of the servant of his servant. And then book distribution is really servant of the servant of the servant. In such an illustrious way, if we have that proper consciousness. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant, empowered by the servants, who is trying to engage the world in hearing Prabhupada's instructions, knowing that that will make them very dear to Krishna. Another question? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, you are talking about Kalidas, the standard which we are supposed to reach, that we are going to be a servant of the servant. And then only we can attain Krishna's loving relationship or love of Krishna. But Maharaj, to be very frank, is we are not on the standard of Kalidas. And we imitate as a footstep of Kalidas that we have to become a servant of the servant. But sometimes it so happens, I can say about myself, is that we serve the devotees, and sometimes we find some trace of that. Some devotee tries to take undue advantage of us. They try to, not an exact word of exploitation, but they try to take undue advantage, thinking that this person is having a service attitude, so I'll take some more advantage of it in a material angle. At that time, our faith gets shaken up. We know it, we have to serve everybody. But because of that, that faith has become shaken up. And then when we have to serve other devotees, that mentality has not gone. And due to that reason, our service attitude disturbs with other devotees also. So how to see to it that that thing doesn't disturb us? And we have a very smooth consciousness to serve devotees, even if that person exploits it also.
I knew you would ask that question. I didn't know it, but I assumed it. You see, Jadu Thakur was a pure Vaishnava. Those who are pure Vaishnavas, those who really, when I say pure, it means that their service attitude is quite unconditional. They don't want to exploit for their material purposes. Yes? Such persons, we should aspire to serve in that wholehearted way. We can't have the same faith in somebody who is a very much a Karma Mishra Bhakta, who's performing devotional service and wants many material awards and benefits from his or her service. And they may try to, in one sense, you know, utilize us for their material purposes. We cannot serve those devotees with the same faith. We have to have intelligence. We should serve them. But we should serve them in a way that our service is not exploited for material purposes. We should not. We should be careful that our service is not exploited for selfish or materialistic purposes. Wholeheartedly, with great faith, serve those, even if they may not be paramhamsas, but they're really striving for pure devotion. To the paramhamsas, we serve absolutely. To those who are perhaps somewhat like us or more advanced, but they're really striving for unconditional devotional service, we should serve them without reservation. But for persons who are indicating that they want something materially from me for that purpose, we should serve them, but not with the same faith, obviously, and not with the same unconditional offering. But still, we should serve them. We have to be intelligent enough to serve them in a way that they're not disrupting your devotional service or disrupting their own devotional service. Does that answer your question? We can't see everyone as the same. We have to serve every devotee according to their particular, how we perceive at least they are performing their devotional service. We want to hear from Vaishnavas, but if someone's a Vaishnava who's blaspheming others, we shouldn't hear a word of that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't serve them. We should serve them from a distance, because what they say is will destroy your spiritual life if they're doing blasphemy. So we may just offer obeisances from a distance. So servant we are. But we have to use proper intelligence. Not everything is one. Atintya beda beda tattva. Service we are to everyone, but each person, there's variety, there's diversity in how we serve and in the faith that we serve. If someone is trying to exploit, we have faith in the principle of serving a Vaishnava. But we have to discriminate that the service is actually being used for Krishna. You have another question? Thank you. Yes, Mahaprabhu.
Maharaj, most of the time we are chanting our rounds just to complete our rounds in a mechanical way. And how to reach to the stage where we can chant from heart? Usually we chant by the lips and complete the rounds. I have completed my rounds. So what is the meaning chanting from the heart?
The heart is the seat of our desire. We should desire pure devotional service. We should desire to please Krishna. We should desire prema bhakti. We should desire to please Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna. We should chant with that desire. If that is our desire when we're chanting, then we are chanting from our heart. The heart is the seat of our spiritual desires. What do you want? Do you want pure devotional service? Or do you want to get your rounds done? If you want to get your rounds done, then just keep chanting and pulling down those counter beads and you'll get your rounds done. Which is good. You're getting your rounds done. There will be some of those mantras will go deep into your heart. But maybe not so many. But chanting from the heart means I'm chanting because I really want to purify my heart. I see so much lust and envy and anger and pride and greed and illusion and anger. I see all these things. I don't want it. I want to wipe it away. I want to wipe away all these attractions and aversions and attachments and upadis. I see them. I'm sick of them. I'm disgusted with them. They've dragged me birth after birth after birth after birth away from Krishna. And they're doing it again. Even despite I've received so much, still these material attachments are pulling me away from Krishna. Contaminating my mind. I don't want it anymore. Krishna, save me. I want to be your pure devotee. I want to be an instrument of your love. And in this spirit, we really cry out the holy name. We cry out the holy name to cleanse us, to save us, to save us from Maya, to empower us to become pure. Do you want love of God? Or do you want to just get your rounds done so you can go on to the next thing? If you want love of God, focus on that. And focus on all the impediments that are diverting your attention. And only the name can ultimately save us. But you can't just sit down and do that unless through the day you're really trying to cultivate the attitude of the servant of the servant of the servant. If you're offending Vaishnavas, if you're doing prajalpa and talking nonsense and all these other things, you're not going to be capable of doing that when you sit down to chant. But if you're trying to live your life in the spirit of achieving that love, and then when you sit down to chant and you see all the impediments and you see all the desires and you see all the conditionings that are so deeply seated in your mind, you want to get rid of them. And you know the only way, there's no other way. I've tried it for years and it just doesn't work. I know, I'm convinced, I've heard it in the books, I've heard it in the classes, I have personal experience of it. The only way is Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy is manifesting in his name. And that mercy is accessible by how humbly and sincerely I chant. That should be our meditation when we're doing our rounds. That we need, I need to cry out for the mercy of the holy name. I don't need to just get my rounds done. I need that too. I need to get my rounds done in this mood. Without the mercy of the holy name, I'm lost. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. In this spirit, we should pray for mercy as we're chanting the holy names, like beggars. If a beggar, as we were saying in Bhadarsana, if a beggar comes to you with a beautiful silk sari and diamond necklace just coming out of her Bentley, Rolls Royce, or whatever, and says, please give me bakshish. There's not much feeling in her heart. But if a lady who really has nothing and she comes up with you with, she's hungry, she's diseased, she's in rags, and she says, bakshish, bakshish, she means it. Yes? So we have to understand our poverty condition. We've been given so much, but still, so much disease, so much hunger. That's a humble state of mind. That's why Trinada Pisunicheya, in such a humble state of mind, like a beggar, we're crying for mercy. I'm fallen. Then we cry for Krishna's mercy. That was the walls echoing. Does that answer your question? Thank you. So I think that, okay, I cannot say no to Bamsidhari Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, you spoke at length about the remnants up to get of the great souls, and I was very fortunate. It's very, you know, not that difficult to get the remnants of my beloved Guru Maharaj. But a lot of brahmacharis, when they visit our house, they lick the plate to such an extent that there is nothing left, Maharaj. And to make the situation worse, they pour the water and, you know, wash it also. So how to, you know, get these remnants? And we humbly request them, please leave something, not for us, for at least Mataji's who are toiled in the kitchen.
What was the second part?
I tell them, you know, at least leave some remnants, if not for me, at least for the Matajis who are cooking the kitchen. They are, you know, very longing for it. So it is more very purifying and all those things. So now how to get these remnants? I don't want to name these brahmacharis, or all in semicircle sitting here.
No, you could name them.
His Grace Govind Prabhu. His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu. So many of them, they come. Gaurang Prabhu also, you know. So please tell them, you know, to leave some remnants so that.
I will give you a very honest answer. I've been asking the same question for many years. how I could get their remnants. So when you find out, please tell me also. How do you think they are with me? They won't even let me look at their plates. But one thing I can say is Krishna sees the desire. If the ladies in the kitchen really desire, then they are getting transcendental remnants. And little does Govinda Prabhu know that all these ladies are eating his remnants. If he leaves some crumbs, then they'll eat his remnants in a certain way, in some boga. But if he doesn't leave crumbs, they'll be eating his remnants in vipralamba. In separation, it will be even more intensified.
Maharaj, we are making a new policy. Brahmachari will not visit the house of grihasthas anymore.
That will even more intensify their view. Haribo. Does that answer your question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.